The Tom Woods Show, episode 1980.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, don't even think about missing the libertarian event of the year. The 2000th episode of The Tom Woods Show, live in Orlando, featuring many of your favorites from The Tom Woods Show. And Michael Malice says his special surprise guest, whose identity I myself don't even know, will bring the house down. Cost nothing to attend. Register at tomwoods2000.com. Hey folks, Tom Woods here. We have all heard, probably more than we want to hear, about so-called cancel culture. But my guest today has a kind of a solution. He's launching something that will help people who are in this kind of situation, particularly people who have been doxxed. They, by night, they're bloggers, but by day, they have ordinary normie jobs, and somebody goes and tattletales to their employer, hey, this guy has unapproved thoughts. Of course, we can't allow that. Everybody has to be an automaton, and then you get fired and all that. What do you do about that? What do you do in that situation? And Kevin is launching something called Exit Group, which you can find out about at exitgroup.us, that helps you in that situation if this should ever happen to you. But more than that, it's kind of also aimed at trying to position yourself in such a way that you're not in this vulnerable position to start with, that you could one day suddenly find your life thrown into turmoil because, you know, again, you say things that are unapproved by the regime. This gets back to your employer. Maybe there's a better way to position yourself in the first place that this kind of thing doesn't happen to you. But if it does, what should your next steps be? And Kevin and his community are there to guide you through that. I think it's very important. And of course, maybe this hasn't happened to you now, but it could happen. And I think it's worth checking out what he's doing. And so when I found out about it, I decided this guy's a definite for the Tom Woods Show. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I couldn't be more supportive of what you're doing. And we need way more of it, because what we generally have is a lot of complaining and wringing of hands and writing articles and blog posts. And, you know, I'll even say podcast episodes, okay? But not enough action. Not enough, well, why don't we do something? Why don't we help people in these situations? Why don't we make their options more attractive or more easily accessible? And that's what looks to me as if you're doing. So this is great. Somebody who actually does something. It's incredible to me how few people in our area of the world, let's say, ideologically, ever really do anything other than complain about what's happening. And by the way, we have every right to complain. I'm nothing against complainers. They're 100% in the right, but I want complaining action takers. So we need more of those. So I think for a story like this, we have to start with your own personal background and what got you here. I'm sure, let's say, 5-10 years ago, you weren't expecting to be running something like Exit Group.
No.
So what kind of career path did you take and what did lead you to this point?
So I was a data scientist and had just sort of been in the corporate environment for a long time. And part of the reason that I was doxxed was that my online life and the things that I was talking about, my political opinions and sort of social commentary, started to feel like the most important thing I was doing with my day almost, just because the environment was so stultifying. And somebody said a tweet that was like, if you could give up your Twitter account for $100,000, would you do it? And I realized that I wouldn't, because nobody's ever going to care what I did in the corporate world. But every, you know, month and a half, someone would reach out to me and say, hey, this thing that you said really resonated with me, or helped me with my relationship with my wife, or I made a change on the basis of what you said. And so it seemed really important that I stick with it, even though I had some OPSEC vulnerabilities, operational security. It was possible to trace my identity back to my Twitter account. So eventually I was doxxed by an Antifa group, a communist group that's opposed specifically to Latter-day Saints, who are sort of as outspoken about their faith and their politics. And in that process, I realized, kind of like what you're saying, but I wouldn't frame it so negatively. I think there were dozens of people who reached out to me and said, what can I do to help? How can I contribute? How can I help you?
People, good.
Who, you know, almost more angry on my behalf than I was personally about what had happened. And what I realized was, and this is a common problem, is that there just wasn't anything to focus or sharpen that energy into something meaningful. And I knew that I knew a ton of guys who would, you know, do anything to help if they knew what to do. And so it was actually the morning that I got fired, the concept just sort of dawned on me of, we need to have a group that not only helps people who are in this situation, but helps people to become robust to this situation so that it never has to happen to them. So helping them get out of corporate jobs, helping them get into self-employment and side hustles so that when sort of the thought police come knocking, they have an exit, they have a glide path to something, you know, potentially better than their corporate jobs. So I already had, for myself personally, I had enough of a following on Twitter that I already had outlined like 6 potential paths for myself, because I knew people who could connect me with various employment opportunities to take care of my family. But I thought, instead of me just sort of picking one of those paths and sort of exploiting the network for myself and then leaving it alone, why don't I use this experience and this network that I have to help kind of anybody that's in this situation? And that was the genesis of Exit Group.
Well, that's terrific. I'll just tell you, I read the piece that went after you, and it is written at a fifth grade level. It is so stupid. It's all sledgehammer. Could you imagine H.L. Mencken writing such primitive prose? It's so pedestrian and dumb and predictable. And the over-the-top language, like they say that your Twitter account was featured on the far-right propaganda show, and I'm prepping myself. Ooh, what far-right propaganda show is this? Tucker Carlson Tonight. I thought, what? A guy who's on a mainstream television network? It's ridiculous. So stupid.
Well, and that leads into, it's not about convincing a human being. The story does not have to sell to any human being. It's about triggering a media and corporate response that's almost mechanistic.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be intelligent. It doesn't have to be truthful. It just has to essentially contain the right keywords to make somebody at HR feel like they have to respond to it.
Yeah. And what's supposed to unfold is almost like a liturgy of responses. And so they say, you've done terrible things. And then you're supposed to come back with, oh, I'm so sorry. I've grown since then. I deeply regret everything I've done, and I've failed to take into account the suffering of the... Whatever it is, right? We've all heard it. We could script it. And when there's somebody who just either fades away or just openly and in a very public and ostentatious way refuses to comply, refuses to utter the standard phrases and responses, that always gets my attention. I love those people who say, no, sorry, I'm not apologizing. No, didn't do anything wrong. Not apologizing. You people are over here supporting people wearing Che Guevara shirts, and I'm the one who has to apologize? You know, you people have covered up some of the worst crimes of the 20th century, and I'm supposed to apologize for, what, a few edgy remarks? Give me a break. I don't buy into this morality. I love people who stand up and do that. So not only have you done that, but now you've gone and built Exit Group. So first of all, how long have you, when did all this happen to you? And so how long has Exit Group existed?
This was about a month and a half ago. So it's...
Oh, so this is super, super recent.
Yes, it is. But we've already got, I think it's 80 patrons right now who are involved in the group. We've got, I think, 8 or 10 successful entrepreneurs. We've got tons of successful software developers. Part of the purpose of this is a lot of people who are sympathetic to our politics either don't have a way to express that knowledge within their professional networks, and so help other people who are like-minded, or in their sort of political life and their conversations that they're having online, they can't share like, hey, I have these professional skills and this professional network, and maybe we can help each other out. And so this creates a trusted space where we can help each other to find better opportunities.
Now, I'm glad that on your Patreon page, it says that Exit Group is not about going and living in the woods. Because
that's right.
There are some people who are, you know, let's say sympathetic to my point of view, who are kind of taking that route because of everything that's going on in the world. I'm just going to go off grid and I'm going to go do that. And that's great for them. If that works for them, I couldn't be more supportive. I'd be dead in a day doing that. That would not, I don't want to churn my own butter. I don't want to do any of that. I hate all that. I don't even want to go camping in my own backyard. I would hate every minute of that. So although some people, that is the solution for them, why should I be kicked out of the world that I grew up in? I mean, why should I just sit back and take that? Isn't there a way that I can make something livable for myself exactly where I am? So I presume that's where you're going.
Well, it's that. I mean, because there are guys who are interested in self-reliance and homesteading life. And we have we have resources for that kind of thing. We have several farmers who can show you the ropes. But I wanted to make it, first of all, you know, you're not going to go Ted Kaczynski. The fantasy of I'm going to take my family and disappear into the woods, you're missing out on the fact that we're social creatures and we have to have people around us, or we go nuts and get weird, or we just, you know, you're so much poorer if you don't have a community. And so the idea would be you're not going to go hide out by yourself, because ultimately, if you're having kids, who's going to be their friends and their rivals and their romantic partners and like their community, their mentors? You can't be your family's entire social universe for them. And so the idea that you're just going to keep that bubble airtight, I think, is a fantasy. And so the part of the purpose of this is to build a community so that potentially, you know, if people want to live together geographically down the road, eventually they can do that. You know, that's kind of out of the scope of what we do as a service. But like, I want to create a world where people can enact whatever dream they have. And we've got several guys who are like crypto whizzes. And so they want to get paid in crypto and work anonymously and hide in plain sight. And, you know, we've got guys who want to get a remote job and go live in Belarus or Hungary or whatever. You know, just the idea is not to make it one particular solution, but just to give everybody the escape velocity to get out of the present situation and get wherever they're trying to get to.
So talk to me about what some of these solutions might be, because it could well be that I have a highly specialized corporate job that, just by the nature of it, I can't do as a lone wolf. I can't just hang a sign outside my door and say that I'm doing what I used to do. Maybe I was so integrated into a firm that there's no market for what I do. I mean, whereas I could understand how an apprentice shoemaker could just say nuts to this and open his own shoe store, but I don't know that that is applicable in all cases.
No, it's not. And in that case, there are people that are in that situation. I mean, I would argue that as a data scientist, you're working with corporations that have big data, which tends to be corporations that are of a size that they're sort of no longer controlled by human beings. They're sort of controlled by market incentives, and they're very faceless and not a place that I would want to work. So I ran into that problem of like, how deep do I have to take a step back to make this work for myself? And of course, you know, I chose something dramatically different from what I was doing professionally before. And so someone who's in that kind of a situation, I would encourage them, first of all, do everything they can to maintain good OPSEC, do everything they can to protect their identity. And we, you know, we provide resources and intelligence on how to do that. But I also would not sugarcoat the future for someone like that, in the sense that I would not tell them that that's sustainable forever. I've looked at the kind of people who have been run down by the mob over much more innocuous opinions than what I expressed. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. And so the point of exit for someone in that situation be to identify something else that uses as much of their existing skill set as possible, as well as maybe some untapped talent. I mean, there's a million guys who are working some, you know, very specialized cog in a machine job at a corporate environment, but what they really love is something totally different. And part of what I want to explain to those guys is like, I've got guys making money in this group doing all kinds of things. I mean, we've got a guy who built a landscaping business from, you know, $1,000 to buy the mower, the blower, the weed whacker. And he's going to sit down with you and he's going to show you like this, how you start a landscaping business. And that may sound like silly to you because you're not an outdoors guy, but like I know a lot of guys who are in these corporate jobs who like that really is what they're hungry for. They're like sick of sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
Or it might be e-commerce, or it might be like, there's just, what I would say to that person is you need to talk to these people and realize that you have options, that this is not the only course that keeps your family comfortable.
Can you tell us, maybe it's public, I just don't know, what have you yourself pivoted to?
Well, I mean, a big part of it is running Exit Group. I've also...
Yeah, okay.
One of our guys had a side gig selling books on Amazon. So he'd go to the used bookstore and pick up cheap books and then flip them on Amazon. And it sounded really interesting and fun to me. So I went and brought home like a pallet load of used books to my house that I'm selling right now just to, you know, supplement the income. But also, I mean, I had several remote, I can tell you about the stuff I didn't take, which is I had several sort of remote opportunities to work in IT or data science fields that, you know, God forbid this doesn't shake out. That would probably be my number one place to pivot to. But yeah, right now it's Exit and it's playing around with these books.
Well, not that I would want to do this long-term or anything, but I know somebody from my world who buys a lot of things at dollar stores or even things like a Family Dollar, which are not technically every item is a dollar, but inexpensive,
yeah.
And then resells them on eBay, like around Halloween, gets a whole bunch of Halloween stuff, resells them on eBay, and she knows what's going to sell and what isn't. And so she just buys up a whole lot of inventory, puts it in her house. I just don't want to have inventory in my house. All I want to have in my house is all my unsold books that I will eventually bring to conferences and sell them. So, all right. So let's say you're in this situation though. Let's go back to being doxxed. You're in the situation where you tried to keep your personal political life separate from your professional life, and somebody has knocked that barrier down and told everybody, this is so-and-so person, he works at this place, here's the telephone number where you can harass them until they fire the person. Now, when you saw that was happening, did they in fact fire you, or did you say, all right, I see where this is going, I'm going to go on my own at this point?
No, I chose to let them do it, and I need to be careful what I say, but...
I would say, you know, don't go any farther than you want to.
Yeah, I chose to let them do it, and it was a very quick process.
Okay, so let's say you're in that situation. Now, there are some people, you seem like the kind of guy with very thick skin, whereas there are some people who would read the kind of things that are said about me and almost anybody with any kind of platform who's to the right of Bob Dole gets some nasty article written about him,
yeah.
That I would say most people with an IQ, and I'm not trying to say this to be disparaging or jokingly, most people with an IQ above, say, 100 or 110 would immediately know these articles are BS. They would know that immediately.
Sure.
And those are the only people I'm really catering to. In my podcast, if you don't have an IQ of 100, you're not even going to understand what we're talking about. So I don't even care about that. But there are some people who would see something like that and absolutely panic, not just because their livelihood could be in danger, but because they don't think of themselves as bad people. And somebody has just written something that makes them look terrible. And the whole world, at least in principle, can see it. Now, yeah. Most of the world will never see these obscure blogs. Never. They have their own lives. Why would they? But for that brief moment of terror, you think the whole world is reading this and drawing terrible conclusions about you. So how do you counsel people there?
Well, I mean, I don't want to underplay the impact of it. I mean, I probably spent a good week or two not really eating or sleeping. The best sort of emotional shield that I had was that I knew it was nonsense. And I knew that anybody who knew me well would know that it was nonsense. And that belief was thoroughly vindicated by, you know, we have neighbors and friends who are of other races, other faiths. And, you know, the first question that you get, especially because I was relatively new in my position, the first question that you get when you're talking to somebody is, hey, how's work going? And I'm not going to lie to people. So, yeah. You know, I explained, well, I was fired and it wasn't because I was incompetent. It was because this situation happened. And to a person, every one of them was like, that's horrendous. What a ridiculous accusation. And that gave me a lot of faith in, you know, I think there's kind of a tendency toward a siege mentality online where you see how much, for lack of a better term, the enemy has control of every media outlet, you know, every institution. They're running almost everything. And so it's easy to believe that, like, you know, whatever they say will be just sort of consumed without a lot of thought. But I realized that a lot of people who don't share my politics or who aren't even particularly political are very skeptical about what's in the media now. And yeah. I would have hated to go through this 10 or 15 years ago when they hadn't burned as much of their capital. And a lot of normal people still sort of thought that if you got run through those gears, you probably deserved it.
Yeah. And well, as a matter of fact, you're talking to somebody who went through it about 15 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I had a book come out called The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. It did really well. Got on the New York Times bestseller list. I did some TV. I was on Fox News. I was on MSNBC. I was on C-SPAN. I was on all over the radio. Did really well. And I was surprised that there had been no pushback. Well, they're slow. They're not going to not do anything. So in January of 2005, the New York Times ran a signed editorial on their editorial page. And it was written by somebody from Southern Poverty Law Center. So you know what kind of article that's going to be. And it was all stupid. I mean, it's easily refuted, totally stupid. So I did refute it, and that sold more copies, you know, online on a heavily trafficked website. But it turns out that that week, the week that that came out, wound up being the best week for the book ever, because people had to know, what is the New York Times so frightened by? So the Boston Globe ran a piece on the editorial page against it. There's nothing wrong with this book, by the way. Absolutely everything that's said in it is completely defensible, but none of these editorial writers ever read this in their history class, you know? And plus, I wouldn't exactly bank a lot of money on their knowledge of history anyway, any of these people. These are not the brightest people in the world. Right. And when I looked at that, I thought the whole world is reading these articles, because now this is not some obscure blog. These are major newspapers that are going after me. Yeah. And I thought, maybe my career is over already. How can this, what am I going to do? And then you realize something. What you realize is people who are going to like you already know that the New York Times is full of it. They already know that. And so right. if they see that, like, these people, they love Pat Buchanan. So if the New York Times attacks Pat Buchanan, they don't say, huh, maybe there's something to this. They say, good old Pat, we love him. They're attacking him because he's a great guy. They don't even think about it. Sure. So those people are going to like you. The people who don't like you, by the next day, they've already forgotten your name. They have other things to do in their life. They don't remember Tom Woods, who was attacked in the New York Times all the time ago. But I did get a lot of street cred with a lot of normal people who thought, wow, you must be really over the target. And so the way I responded to that was just to fight back, to respond. And I'm not going to respond to some stupid idiot with three readers, but I am going to respond to the New York Times. So I did that, and I made videos, and I kept churning out books. I had another New York Times bestseller a little bit later. They did not even mention it in the New York Times except to put it on the list, not even a mention, because they absolutely increased my sales by doing it. And it was just a matter of, I just refused to give up. I just kept churning out the books, churning out the articles and videos. And here I am with a very comfortable life, and they were not able to destroy me. So it's not a foregone conclusion, I guess is my point.
Yeah. And as a content creator, that kind of anti-fragility is easy to obtain, where sort of someone tries to hurt you and they help you. I want to create for our guys, if not that kind of anti-fragility, at least a similar sort of way for them to persevere and keep their head up. We had one guy just recently who was caught in a vax mandate, and he said, well, I'm not going to do it, so I'm going to get fired. And we sat him down. So we have a weekly hot seat call where we identify a guy who's got a challenge with his sort of exit strategy, or he's up against something, and we all sit down and talk about it. And this guy was in a web development shop and was going to get fired. And we talked him through, like, here are the possibilities for you to create your own sort of boutique web development shop for yourself. And, eventually you'd be making more money, be more successful, more free, and all that. And so he was able to go into that meeting, holding his head up and knowing that he had people in his corner. And, like, we had digital marketers and we had successful entrepreneurs, people who were experts in these fields who could talk him through, like, no BS, here's what you can accomplish, and here's the help that we can give you to get started. And so that's just the greatest feeling in the world to me, to be able to help somebody in that situation so that they don't feel alone. And I didn't feel alone when it happened to me, because I had so many people at least sort of expressing their well wishes. But there's a lot of guys that don't have the same following, that don't have like you were saying, they're not in the content game. So it's not obvious that like Defiance is the right play for them. So yeah, as many people as I can create that kind of experience for them of like, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to stand down. I'm going to do something better. I'm going to build something stronger from this experience. That's what I want to do.
Hey, everybody, we're going to pause this episode just for a minute for you and me to have a conversation together. And of course, given the nature of my relationship with you, it's going to be more or less me speaking and you listening. But I want to talk to you about mental health, about the quiet struggles we all have. I know you look on social media and it looks like everybody's happy except you and everybody has a perfect life, but that ain't so. You are not an oddball because you're suffering from anxiety or stress, or you're depressed and you can't understand why you can't get out of it. And I absolutely insist to you that there is no shame involved in reaching out and getting help for these things. And so I'm going to be honest with everybody listening. I've also used BetterHelp, which is the service I promote on the Tom Woods Show to help improve my listeners' mental health. I've used it myself. So there, I said it. So now you can take that step too. If there's something interfering with your happiness, preventing you from achieving your goals, now's the time to do something about it. With BetterHelp, your needs get assessed, you get matched with your own licensed professional therapist, you can have video or phone sessions. It's convenient, professional, affordable. Check out their testimonials. It's unbelievable. And in fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Now listen, I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/woods. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/woods. Let me, as we start to wrap up, ask if maybe you've been thrown a curveball where society and government have been going, such that when you first thought about this, I bet the way you envisioned it was we're going to protect people against this sort of thing from happening, maybe proactively get them into something else and out of a world that hates them, namely the corporate world, or indeed to help people who have been doxxed or targeted for destruction and give them some way to put their lives back together. But now all of a sudden, I bet a whole lot of people who are going to be interested in you are going to be coming to you because of the vaccine mandate.
Absolutely. A big piece of this is I didn't want the organization to be for weirdos, if that's for lack of a better term. I didn't want it to be people who were like maladjusted. And it totally has, I mean, I've been just blown away by the quality of guys in this group. They're just unbelievably professional, smart, sharp people. But I think what the vax mandate has shown us is that it is not enough to just shut up and keep your head down and go to the diversity trainings and take the unconscious bias training. You are going to be made to physically participate in these things that you disagree with. And, you know, I personally am not opposed to the vaccine, but I'm absolutely opposed to the mandate. And so I'm in a position, obviously, right now where that's not an issue for me. But yeah, there's at least three of our members who, you know, they joined previous to all this, but they are now in the process of either quitting or being fired because of the requirement to take the vaccine. And absolutely. So it's touching people who would normally think of themselves as apolitical. And it's like in this world now, everything is political at this point.
Yeah, I remember before COVID started, I thought everything had become political. And now it's just absolute insanity. So how do people join Exit Group? What do they need to do?
Well, so we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/exit_org. We also have the website exitgroup.us. You can sign up on either of those platforms and members get access to early access to the podcast. They get access to the group chat, one-on-one mentoring from a huge array of domain experts. And yeah, if you just go to the page, it's pretty straightforward to sign up.
Wow. Well, I would say now, if you're interested in free advice, and now the thing for you is just get on as many podcasts as you can, because there's going to be a tremendous demand for what you have to offer. I mean, it could be overwhelming. So get out there and get yourself known. I'm so glad. It was one of my listeners who told me I didn't know about what you were doing or what had happened to you. And he wrote to me, and a lot of people write to me with guest suggestions, and I love them. I love the suggestions. I love the people. But sometimes the suggestion is just not it's not for my show. It's not quite right. Like, I don't want to have Candace Owens on my show. It's okay. Just, you know, she's a lovely person with, and she's been great on COVID, but just too much conservatism, Inc. You know, it's just not my thing. I'm not, just not interested in that. But you are perfect. You are exactly the kind of person I want.
Thank you.
So I'm glad that I got that notification. But in a way, this might be one of those times where you become aggressive, not in a bad way, but, you know, there are people out there with podcasts who, like me, need guests. And yeah. I don't take just any old guest to fill the space. But when I heard about your story and what it was you were trying to do, I thought that you're an absolute natural. So I will have the links that you just mentioned up on the show notes page, and that's tomwoods.com/1980. In case people forget, they'll just know it's episode number 1980, and they can easily find these links. So I hope this goes really well for you. I mean, it might be worth checking in about 6 months to a year to see what's going on with you guys and the extent to which vaccine mandates have contributed to an influx of people into it. But it's a great thing you're doing, and I couldn't be happier about it. Any final words before we wrap it up for today?
No, thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, please check us out.
All right. Thanks again. So episode 1980, tomwoods.com/1980. I urge everybody to go check that out. All right, folks. For some reason, this conversation brought to mind an ebook of mine. I mean, why wouldn't it? Because sometimes we're discouraged. It seems like everybody has just gone over to the dark side and everybody's a crazy lunatic. But that's what makes stories of people who make courageous stands all the more inspiring. And I have some stories of academics who took their stand and who didn't care what the world said and just stood up and fought back. And these are tremendous examples for all of us, people who could not be cowed. These days, we read a lot of bad news, we consume a lot of bad news, and that's why I want to give you a little good news. And that is that there are people out there who, against tremendous odds, nevertheless say, no, I won't go along. And the ebook is called Think for Yourself, Professors Who Resisted the Mob Tell Their Stories. And you can pick that up for free at againstthemob.com. I mean, come on now, just typing in againstthemob.com has got to bring you a certain satisfaction. And as long as you're there, why don't you get the ebook? So againstthemob.com, that's my recommendation for today, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.